In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I ask your forgiveness, your patience with me. I don't have a prepared sermon, so you will have to suffer that. So I just ask you to fill in whatever lacuna there may be missing and so on, or to give me an indulgent listening if I should slip into any material heresy by accident. Can you people in the back hear me? Okay, this is my first time speaking in this church, and it's always good to know. So today, of course, is the feast day, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And there's many, obviously, you can't run out of the good thing, out of things to say about the Assumption, so I'll just mention a couple of them. You know, think about, according to the saints, according to tradition, our Blessed Mother lived for another 15 years, after the ascension of our Lord into heaven. I know others, some might say longer, etc., but they're wrong. St. Bridget says that our Blessed Mother lived to be 63, which I always liked to, that's the essence of the origin of the Bridgetines rosary, 63 Aves. And I like the symmetry involved in that, because you have 15 years, and then you have 33 years, and then you have another 15 years. But in any case, let's say she was around at least for 15 years after our Lord ascended into heaven, which for our Blessed Mother would have been a great trial in one sense. St. Alphonsus Liguori, I believe, says that of her sorrows, actually the worst one was the loss of our Lord in the temple as a child, because that was the only sorrow in which she didn't have our Lord present with her to go through it with her. So he was absent from her. And so we also have it on good authority that she spent much of her time going to all the holy places in the Holy Land, going to the place of the Nativity, remembering his birth, going to the stations of the cross, remembering his presence there in the tomb, and all of these things, going back to all of those very memorable places, that she would retrace those steps. And so to think about that reunion that is had today, when our Blessed Mother finally, after these many years of waiting, is returned to our Lord, it's helpful for us to consider those reunions we maybe have experienced in our own lives, or those long for reunions that we wish we could experience, particularly those that seem, or that are, the death has made impossible in this life. To think of somebody very beloved to us, perhaps a parent, perhaps our mother, who is gone and has died and passed on from this life and will never come back, that is to say, not in this iteration, not in this life. And how much we would desire, if we could, there is a door that we could walk through and go back to how things were, go back to that time, and like when we were happy with them and they were happy with us and everything was just wonderful. To think about how, when we don't have that, how much it pains us. Even when the person is still alive, a very dear friend that we have, maybe we haven't seen for years, perhaps, how sad we are that absence makes us, and how eager we are to be reunited. We wait and we're counting down the time. We get to the airport early, like we are. All of our focus is on this reunion, how it's going to complete us in a certain sense. The more we think about it, the more we feel that our current lives are incomplete, like there's a huge lack in us. And this is going to fix everything. It's going to fill us back up. It's going to make us whole again. Like St. Augustine and the other saints say, that a friend is like the other half of your soul. Now, this is for us and for our flawed relationships, because they never really are exactly as good as we think they are. In the sense that, we think in our minds we have this memory of this wonderful time that we had with this person, maybe who is now deceased. And we think, oh, it was so wonderful, I wish we could go back to that time. Or maybe they've lost their mental faculties. And we say, I wish we could go back. And it was so perfect. It was so good then. But in reality, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect then. You know, we had problems, they had problems, etc. So it's not usually as perfect as we think, or those longed-for reunions sometimes aren't as perfect as we think they will be either. In the meantime, the time that we've spent absent from somebody, it could be a relationship, it could be, again, a friend or a family member, that sometimes it happens, not all the time, but sometimes it happens, that we are away from them and we have in our mind this idealized version, and then the reality actually falls short of that. We're reunited with the person and it's not the Disneyland we thought it would be. Now, this again is because of our own sin, but none of that would have been true for our Blessed Mother. None of that would have been true for her. That is not, the first half would be true. That for her, she had a complete and perfect and pure longing for our Lord. And the fulfillment of that today has no shadow over it. It does not disappoint. There's nothing lacking. There's no problem. There's no sin. There's no anything. It is the perfect reunion of these two souls who loved each other more than anyone else can ever know. Like, not even the highest angels in heaven, not even the cherubim and the seraphim, can actually comprehend the love that our Blessed Mother has for our Lord. Because she is more excellent than them, which means that her love is greater than theirs, which means that it actually surpasses their understanding. Just to think about, again, what rejoicing there would be in heaven, the whole cohort of angels and saints at our Blessed Mother's Assumption, but in her own heart. And now we see, too, why she was our sorrowful mother even after our Lord's ascension, because we had felt his absence all the more painfully. And so, again, finally, after these 15 years, she's reunited. Now, this is one of those things when we look at death. You know, we can't, just as much as we can't have had a sinless life like our Blessed Mother, we can't have a death like hers, in the sense that for our Blessed Mother, she had nothing to fear about death. And she only desired death. She only desired to be reunited with Christ. Like I said, when we think about that one person that we want to be reunited to, we think about them as a great friend, as a perfect friend, as someone who, you know, again, is just a perfect relationship, or this, at least that's how it is in our minds. But it's a little different if it's not a perfect relationship, right? It's a little different if maybe you've hurt that other person, if you have sinned against them, if there's some water under that bridge or these other things, right? You know, if your relationship isn't the best, then it's definitely mixed. And that's the difference between our Blessed Mother's death and ours, and why ours, it should in fact be accompanied by fear. That we should have a desire for death, that is to say, for the right reasons, for union with Christ and so on, and these good and holy supernatural things. But we also have a very healthy fear of death, because, again, how different our death is from our Blessed Mother's. That she had nothing to fear. She was from this reunion, right? She had no attachments to this world that she was holding on to, unlike us, who are typically more attached than we think we are. You'd like to think, oh, I don't really care, you know, about my car, you know, until... Until something bad happens to it, or something like that. As St. Francis de Sales says, you know, we would be happy being poor as long as we had all the things we wanted. But, you know, so we like to think we're more, typically speaking, we like to think we're more detached than we actually are. And that causes sadness when we're broken off from the things that we are in reality attached to, even if we don't want to admit it. Similarly, too, our Blessed Mother had nothing to be ashamed of before our Lord. But who can sit secure? You know, who is secure in that final judgment, as we see in the Dies Irae, right? Even the just man, even the man who's led a very virtuous life, does not stand secure, does not have anything to be, you know, again, we all have things that we regret, that we repent of, and that we wonder if we have, You know, if that debt and so on has been fully paid, we need good reason. And so when we look forward to death, as Father Faber says, you know, we should really have a healthy fear of death. You know, he says that he is very quite mistrustful of people who say that they have no fear of death, that it's only they only have, you know, a holy desire when they look forwards to death. Because, as he says, that it's very hard to misuse a healthy fear of God. It's very hard to misuse fear of death. But it's very easy to think that we have, you know, a love, the right love for death, but not really to have it. For there's different ways of looking towards death. That he points out that it's a natural love, that if we look at death as the cessation of pains in this life or cessation of troubles or things like that, it's not necessarily wrong to recognize that, yes, when I die, my knee won't bother me anymore. When I die, I won't have to worry about this, that, or the other thing. That's very true. But those are all natural motives. Right? Supernatural motives would be those ones held by our Blessed Mother. Now, it is true, a good supernatural motive is never not being able to sin again. That is a supernatural motive, and that's one that we can, and more easily, I think, genuinely have. But it's important for us to see, you know, when we look at death, we look at it very differently than our Blessed Mother did. That for her, again, she had nothing but love for our Lord and nothing at all to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of in death. And we do. And that's another way of looking at it, too. It's also, I would say, a little helpful thought when you do your examination of conscience, especially your daily examination of conscience, or hopefully daily, to say, you know, there's that temptation we probably all have when we sit down to do that, to be like, oh, you know, I can't think of anything. Well, you know, I mean, unless you lived like our Blessed Mother today, then you could probably try harder, right? So we can't have a death like hers in that sense. You know, again, ours is going to be met with an appropriate level of fear of that judgment. What, you know, have we have not been as close friends with Christ as our Blessed Mother was. Not at all. And so our reunion with him will not be that reunion that she had. Now, I say this not to, you know, cast a shadow or a pall, quite literally, you know, over this great day, but rather to point out this is where we have all the more need to turn to our Blessed Mother, to turn to her as our mediatrix, to turn to her as our mother. And to see that there's different reasons why she died. Greater union with Christ. You know, it wasn't necessary. She didn't have to pay the punishment of Eve. She didn't have to pay for original sin and so on. But one reason, I think not the least, is because she wanted to be our mother in all things, even in death. That our Blessed Mother is our mother in all things. Even in death. And look at how a mother trains her children. You know, your boss might come in and, you know, give you an instructional video to watch or something like that. But a mother trains her children by doing things with them. When she has a little child with his clumsy little hands, she takes that time to help him use the broom, to help him sweep, even though it takes three times as long and it's done half as well. The point is that she is helping him do his little job. He can't do it the way that she can, but he can't do it at all if she isn't helping. And that's what our Blessed Mother is for us. And that's why, again, this is one of the reasons, maybe not the only reason, but one of the reasons why she, in fact, died. Was so that she could mother us, she could be our mother in death. And she could show us, this is how you die. You know, her death is much more perfect than ours ever will be. But she is our guide through it. And this is where it's good to fall back on what St. Louis de Montfort says in True Devotion to Mary. You know, for those who have made that total consecration, and if there's anyone who hasn't, you know, I heavily encourage you to do so. Is that we should be always striving, not, accomplishing probably, but always striving to do things, to do things by Mary, with Mary, in Mary, and for Mary. And very in a brief summary, to do things by Mary is to do things by the same Spirit that our Blessed Mother did them in. Right? The Spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is her Spirit. To do things in that right Spirit. To do them with Mary is to do them, again, with her as our Mother, watching over us, guiding us, but also, with Mary, but also imitating her virtues, especially that great virtue of faith. To do things in Mary is recognizing that we rely on her mediation of grace so that we can do our things well. Beginning always doing them in emulation of her. And doing them for Mary that's the whole point of the total consecration, is that we take whatever action that we have and we offer it to her for her to perfect it, to make it better, to clothe it with her own goodness, to make it her own. And that is exactly what we want to do with our death. That when we die, we want to die by Mary, by means of that Spirit that guided her. We want to die with Mary, who died. Right? We want to die in Mary, in that unity, as beloved children of her. We want to die for Mary. We want to be able to take our death, which is not as perfect as hers, which is always muddied by, will be muddied by these various attachments or feelings of guilt or whatever, and place it with entire trust and care in our Blessed Mother's hands, and do everything that we can, that when we die, that should be the culminating act of that total consecration. We to deliver our life entirely into her hands, so that she can then bring us to God. And now this is one instance, then, that we can have a death like Mary. Because, as you recall, our Blessed Mother, it was a trial for her to remain for 15 years on earth. And so, if she had had her preference, let's say, she would have preferred to have died sooner. But her preference, her real preference, her real desire was always to do the will of God. To die only when God wanted her to die. That was 10 years or 15 years or whenever that was going to be. That was her number one will, was to have exactly the death that God wanted for her and for her to do her job on earth for as long as that was until that time. And she is our Mother in that as well. And again, that is where we can have this much greater unity with her than we can with detachment or a life free from sin, is in accepting the death that God has selected for each one of us, in that surrender to God's will. Right, St. Francis de Sales talks about how the queen, was just happy to be with the king. And we ask her where she's going. She will say, "I don't know. I'm staying by the king." And that's the Blessed Mother. And she teaches us how to do that again with our own death. Say, "Well, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I'm not in charge of these things. But this is what I do know, is that I'm going to stay close to Mary. I'm going to do all that I can to consecrate my actions to her, to consecrate my life to her, to consecrate my death to her." And so I've probably gone on way too long, but as I said, you can't really run out of things to say about the Assumption or our Blessed Mother. But if you will, to bring it to a close, these are the things that we should think about, really, so many times a day whenever we say the Hail Mary. In that second half of the Hail Mary, think about what we say. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. And so we have that distinction between Holy Mary and us sinners. So we know that there's a great gap, right, in between her holiness and ours. But we call her Mother. And every time we say the Hail Mary then, we say, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. That every Hail Mary should be our offering our death into our Blessed Mother's hands. So if you say the third part of the rosary every day, that's 53 times at a minimum that you are saying to Mary, you know, be with me, not just now, but be with me in my own death. You who have had the holiest death, you know, short of our Lord, you who have, you know, again, you be my mother when I die. And we have great confidence that, you know, attested to by all the saints, that the more devout, when we say the Hail Mary devoutly, when we mean what we say, our Blessed Mother really does come down and work in our souls and will guide us and will make up for those lacks. We cannot have as holy and detached and perfect a death as she did, right? But we can consecrate our death into her hands. We can have complete and total trust in her to take care of our souls well, like a mother who never leaves her child, like Rebecca, who promised that any curse that would fall upon Jacob would rather fall upon her. That is what our Blessed Mother is not outdone by any saint. So by calling upon her, by invoking her, by asking as we do every day that she help us live well and help us die well, we have complete confidence that she, in fact, will do just that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.